TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. It's a conversation we have to have. It's a conversation about the state of the nation. Talk to us now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
That's right. Welcome back to State of the Nation on TNT Radio. You're with myself, Brian McClain. You're with CC Woods and John Matlin over here at today's News Talk. I want to thank everybody for hanging out in the chat. Thank you, Kiwi FF. Yes, Kiwi FF says, love TNT so much. Keep on keeping on. That's what we're going to do, Kiwi. Yes, we got William Santa Cruz Bolivia up in there. What's going on? We got Maz and Skippy, and I think Xenon's up in there too. Some people hanging out in the Discord. If you want to chat with us, check out the numbers, tntradio.live. The phone numbers are right up there. You just heard them as well. Give us a call if you want to jump in the mosh pit with us. All right, John and CeCe, welcome back. John, let's talk about McCarthy here. What's going on with the Freedom Caucus?
So the holdouts were threatened with getting stripped of, any access to being on committees. There was a lot of stuff going around, and, you know, people kept going, the Republicans are so divided. Look at them. And the Democrats thought it was a great scene to drive home their point that they are the adults, that they are the ones that are very united under Hakeem Jeffries and their very uber liberal movement. However, things are starting to sort out, and it looks like McCarthy has placed a lot of these people, a lot of the holdouts, on their committees. So Boebert, which is going to send shockwaves across the nation, I'm sure. Scott Perry, Byron Donalds, and Anna Paulina Luna, who is a freshman on the scene, are on the oversight committee. They've restored Marjorie Taylor Greene to committees with Paul Gosar. They were stripped of their assignments in 2021 over controversial statements, but now they're back in town. Matt Gaetz, unaffected. Andy Biggs, Chip Roy, they're all going to be back on the Judiciary Committee led by Jim Jordan. So things are really starting to shake out here in the 118th Congress. There's definitely a reuniting occurring, which is going to really piss people off. And, well, let's just jump into it, because White House spokesperson Ian Sams pushed back on the appointment and claimed these people are extreme MAGA. Extreme MAGA, if you remember, ran through a whole entire panel of people. It was thrown around for quite some time, and they landed on that being the branding they wanted to go to disparage the GOP members. And this quote came through as we have said before, the Biden administration stands ready to work in good faith to accommodate Congress's legitimate oversight needs. However, with these members joining the oversight committee, it appears the House Republicans may be setting the stage for divorced from reality political stunts instead of engaging in bipartisan work on behalf of the American people, Ian Sams went on to say. Isn't that interesting? They're already pulling the no matter what comes out of this, it doesn't have, it's just not real, because look who's there. Ultra MAGA. Yeah. How's that for good faith? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, the insurrection party, right? That's one of the words, the phrases they're trying out. They're seeing if they can't nudge the ultra MAGA party, quote unquote, into the insurrection party, quote unquote. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting how they talked about their legitimate oversight needs. I wonder who defines what is legitimate at this point. That's going to be an interesting one to find out.
The same people, guys, that will define if what you wrote is considered white supremacy and what? If they can charge you with a crime for it. That's what I'm saying. This is all opinion-based, hyper-partisan bullcrap. And there's no good faith here. There's never going to be good faith. And so let me get this straight. If the Democrats were allowed to pick the Republicans that were on these committees, then it would be okay that they're investigated for all the crimes that they're doing? I think not. Call me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
You're crazy.
Pretty good.
You're crazy.
Crazy.
Look, the only thing I can say about this whole situation is I like the new speaker. I like what he's doing. And all the rest of it, to me, is just noise. Just noise. So we just have to see what happens.
Well, he's living up to the pressure that was put on him. Yep. He can't just be status quo. And that is why that was so important. And the Democrats said it wasn't, but that's because they don't understand politics, clearly.
Exactly. And he just went in there guns blazing, and he was not having like a no party. He was saying, I will be speaker. And he did whatever it took to be that speaker. And now he's showing what he's made of, basically. But I do have something troubling to add to the mix here. So on the other end of the scope, Senator Chuck Schumer is reportedly pushing extremely hard to get FAA nominee Philip Washington through the nomination process very quickly. So
Chucky,
that's what's
all
happening.
He brings us is horror.
That's what's happening.
Chucky just
exactly.
wants horror.
So that's what's happening in the Democrat, run on the other side, basically. So they're pushing for somebody who has absolutely no FAA experience to be head of the FAA. And so, there's just it's a shit show everywhere, just basically. Although I will say, that speaker, our new Speaker of the House, I think has a very firm grip on what's going on. Am I right? Well, what do you think?
I hope so. I'm what do you think, John?
Reserve.
I just think that it's still too early to know, but what is already happening was affected by that drawn out voting process. Mm-hmm. And we would not be as happy had that not happened. Mm-hmm. That is called accountability, something we never see in DC. And we watched it happen, and it needs to happen more often because we have a better speaker for it.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I like what I see so far, but I'm going to remain on the fence until I figure out what kind of deals he made with the other side of the aisle to make this all happen. All right. Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct on our website, on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download that app from the web store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We got you covered on TNT Radio.
Count on us to deliver the facts.
I can rely on that.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In Mexico City last week, the President of the United States met with the President of Mexico and the Prime Minister of Canada for a meeting that ultimately resulted in the issuance of a joint statement titled The Declaration of North America, DNA. Interesting acronym they chose there. There has been very little media coverage of this story, which probably means it's something we need to be paying attention to. And here to help us do just that, joining the show once again is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. This is one of those things that it's how come I didn't hear about this until just this week, because this meeting took place last week between the three amigos, as it were. This meeting, specifically among the leaders of the United leaders, I'll use that term loosely in this situation. But yes, the quote unquote leaders of the United States, Mexico, and Canada. This meeting did not begin with much harmony, but it concluded with the three nations making a joint statement about how the three would quote unquote address the challenges the nations collectively face. Late Tuesday last week, I don't remember when they released the actual text of the declaration, but it's out there, the whitehouse.gov, it's up there. This thing, as you pointed out, what an interesting name, the DNA. It's called the Declaration of North America. It's a document that supposedly touches on all manner of topics near and dear to U.S. President Joe Biden, Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Given the political inclinations of the men involved, it's totally unsurprising to anyone that this list of what they're calling six pillars goes to, right at the top, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the document reads, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion is foundational to the strength, vibrancy, and resilience of our countries. We focus on providing marginalized communities opportunities for their full, equal, and meaningful participation in our democracies and economies. The national leaders also pledged to maintain their, quote, commitment to protect civil rights, promote racial justice, expand protections for LGBTQI plus individuals, and deliver more equitable outcomes to all. Okay, end quote. Second on the list of tri-national imperatives was, no surprise here, climate change and environmental issues, which the trio said they'd address in numerous ways, none of which are likely to be welcomed by conservatives, nor most people, in my opinion. Quote, this includes achieving our respective 2030 nationally determined contributions under the Paris Agreement and working together and with other countries to keep a 1.5 degree Celsius temperature limit within reach, the declaration reads, to promote buy-in for ambitious cuts to emissions. We will come together to align approaches on estimating the social cost of greenhouse gas emissions, end quote. So quite a bit of this kind of stuff going on in here. My question for you guys is, since this is some sort of pact or an agreement between three separate countries, does this completely undermine the sovereignty of these three independent countries? Are they trying to form a new country? Did the United States of America die on January 10th and nobody told us? What do you think?
Well, just like you said, you weren't aware of it until now. It's been very, very quiet. And yes, I think that is the ultimate goal. They just don't realize. It's like the Matrix, Ruckus. When they thought they finally killed Neo, he came back alive and he was able to just stop the bullets. So that's exactly what we have here. There's a lot of people throughout the nation that realize that the equity for Mexico and Canada and what's going on in those countries belongs to Mexico and Canada to figure out their equity problems. Because I think we got it all figured out here in the U.S. where in San Francisco, they're planning to give $5 million to anybody that identifies as black at this point for reparations. Stop me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Who diversity, equity, for who? How does that work? Who defines? It's just like the hate speech thing, CeCe. Who defines what these terms mean? How do we take these terms to the Supreme Court and have the Supreme Court say, oh, yes, yes, lawyer, sir or madam, here is the Supreme Court definition of hate, and here's the Supreme Court definition of equity. Never mind the fact that Mexico and Canada think it should all be the same. This almost sounds like a lowest common denominator. So are we going to get Mexico's version of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or are we going to get Canada's or the United States? I mean, how does this even make sense to you?
For me, I can't even think about all the different countries. The Supreme Court is what's stuck in my mind. And when you think about having to take something to Supreme Court, now I go back to our elections and watch our constitutional rights that are already being stomped on left and right. We have the laws that are in place for us to have fair elections. Are we getting fair elections? No. Do you think it's going to be the same over here with this? Absolutely not. Look who's determining how our elections are run and whether they're fair or whether they're won properly or whatever. Somebody else is determining that. We already know who's determining that. I'm pretty sure the same people are going to be determining this too. So I think we're screwed, in my opinion. Sorry.
Ruckus, I would say that DEI at an international level, there is no way to make that fit or wedge into the United States. There's no way that works in a constitutional republic. There's no place for it. There's no means for it. It just doesn't fit. There is no America if we have international DEI. We're dealing with our own national and Fortune 100 imposed DEI and school imposed DEI right now. And it's just making everything a mess. I can't imagine the international version. And then, you know, you brought up the climate change thing too. As you discussed yesterday on the show, That's been wedged in also. They stuck it in the Inflation Reduction Act, right? I mean, they're using things like this, little treaties and acts, to try to pull the wool over America's eyes and the world's eyes and sneak in all their little UN agendas.
I'm channeling my inner liberal Hesher. So just going to need a second here. So climate change does kill people. It's killing a lot of young people suddenly. I don't know if you guys have been living under a rock. And also, climate change is inflation, because if you look at the temperatures rising, that is inflation. How dare you? How dare you, Hesher?
Yeah, Ruckus, what do you think? I noticed they use Celsius too to talk to Americans. Why are they using 1.5 degrees Celsius to talk to Americans who don't even know what that means?
Yeah, of course, because we're clearly moving towards some sort of one world government here. Anyways, but apparently in stages. So let's just focus on North America. So all hail North America from now on, I guess. That, you know, no more United States, no more Mexico, no more Canada. We're just all one now. Let's just all get along, right? So yeah, I'm very concerned about this. I brought up those two points. There are more, but of course, everyone. I think we need to focus on this thing. Biden took a hard line. Well, all three of them took a hard line, they say, on methane emissions, which they plan to reduce significantly from, quote unquote, all sources, with a new focus on waste methane. So are they going to start fining people for farting? We already know what they think about the cows doing that. And since this was just the two pillars on the list, I'll give you the other ones real quick. Number three was competitiveness. Number five was health. Number six, regional security. The fourth pillar was actually the only one where I heard any news about it, and it was loosely defined, and it involved migration and development. So some conservative news outlets did manage to jump on that and point out, what does that mean? So because it certainly doesn't mean we're closing up the borders anytime soon, folks. That's what that means. So there you go.
I gotta jump in just real quick here. I would like Mexico to start with taking down any CO2 emissions from the cartels. That's where they can start their process, because they got to get their shit together stat. We have Joe 90 in the chat that said even the acronym sounds suspect, which it does. How long before CRISPR gets involved with that and just starts changing it all around, and oops, we're all in prison for our political ideology?
I'll see you there.
There you go.
And where did it all start? Yeah. Here.
With an ice cream cone.
Right? Exactly.
Sorry, world. Sorry about that. All right, Ruckus. Thank you so much, man. We will look forward to speaking with you again on tomorrow's show. There he goes, everybody. That's Ruckus. You're listening to State of the Nation. We will be right back.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
Davos is in session. Try not to be too nauseated. The guest list is bigger than ever this year. There's tons of heads of state. All sorts of people are converging in Switzerland at the World Economic Forum to bask in the glow of Klaus Schwab and his new normal. They're all very jazzed up from the success of the pandemic. They're all really excited about all the progress that was made during the pandemic, and they're especially excited about all the thousands of people that have died suddenly. This is a source of great joy at Davos. There's a lot of glee. They're wringing their hands, hoping to see a few more 100,000 dead over the next few months, maybe over the next year. In that way, they can sort of gauge how well they did in their rollout of the experimental pharmaceutical cocktail. So, of course, Pfizer and everybody else is there. They're clinking champagne glasses. They cashed in their shares, the stocks. Everybody's chalked up their billions, and there's dead bodies dropping like flies as we speak. And they're all very, very excited about this.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Our lines are now open. Call Brian, Cece, and John now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Democrats in the Virginia Senate successfully rejected multiple attempts made Tuesday by Republicans to repeal a 2021 law aimed at curbing carbon emissions by tethering state regulations to those set in California, as we've discussed on this show many times. So lawmakers on the Senate Agriculture, Conservation, and Natural Resources Committee ultimately killed multiple GOP-introduced measures, which had been consolidated into one in a party line vote of 8-7. Virginia Republicans, including Governor Glenn Youngkin, have loudly opposed the 2021 legislation, arguing it threatens grid reliability and mandates the state to pursue unrealistic measures. I don't need to go much further into this one, you guys. John, why do other states want to be so much like California? Do they not see how this is working out over there? I guess they want to get in that queue to experience the austerity with them by setting the policy to go in lockstep with their timing for this kind of stuff.
Well, the real answer here is it's very traceable how this train of thought works. These people subscribe to the liberal dystopian dream. We view it as dystopian. They view it as utopia. And if you look at the founding, the foundation of it, let's say, is the basically what you'll hear at the World Economic Forum. You'll have nothing and you'll like it, because then you won't be affecting the environment and you'll be a good little global citizen. This is something that they all truly believe. And when you get that belief, when you have a very strong belief in something, then you will do things like have nothing and enjoy it. You will put yourself in uncomfortable positions to further your ideology. And in this case, California is holding the torch for how left can you go before you fall into the Pacific Ocean. New York is right there. I know Cece's ready to jump in, and I'm going to give her the floor in just a second. But this is exactly how we get to the point where Democrats are like, our following, our voters that are liberal like us will vote for us again if we show that we are as strong as the gruesome Newsom and the gang in California. We are going to save the planet, and we are going to die on the side of a snowy road in Virginia when everything comes to a halt because our EV is going to run out of a charge, but the climate will be better. And it will be even better if I'm dead, I'm not emitting gas, and they bury my body in the backyard to compost me like they want to do here in New York, and they do already, I believe, in California. Cece, the floor, please.
Goodness. Well, so much to elaborate on. Gruesome Newsom and his ridiculous electric vehicle bullcrap. I still don't understand how he's even going to make any of that happen. And I think we tried to touch on it yesterday. What is he going to do? Eliminate gas stations? Is he going to pay for every car to be converted over? What? How does that even work? Like, you
three
can
letters.
You can put this
three letters.
What?
Cece,
please.
It starts with T, ends with X. Uh-huh. What is the middle letter?
A.
Tax. That's the.
I
Democrat
won the spelling bee in school, people. Okay. Anyway. Okay, yes, tax. As if we don't already have the highest taxes in the nation already, the highest gas prices in the nation already. That's just more incentive for people to get the hell out of here, as U-Haul has already given the numbers. We're leaving in droves here. I'm just one of the idiots that have... Nah, I'm not an idiot, but I grew up here. I've been here my whole life. I like a challenge.
You're one of the brave holdouts, okay? Cece. You're the brave holdout.
I'm a holdout. I'm a brave holdout because I've got my feet firmly planted in this city and I want to fight for it. However, I still don't see all the people around me that are going to give up their cars, that are going to continue to pay the taxes. There are people I know that have been living here their whole lives and they're like, bye, out. They're going to Florida. They're going to Texas. They're not taking this crap.
But remember the game plan. The game plan is to get people beaten down to the point that they have nothing. So they'll be working for free, but they will be on a ration.
But they
that
can go to other states, Johnny. They can go
for
to
now,
other states.
If they don't have a car.
Yeah, for
well,
now.
No, they'll take their car out before they have to convert it over. I'm telling you that right now. Same with
now
the
you
gas.
Can't leave.
I know, right? But I even think that there are some areas of Los Angeles that are banning gas stoves. As a matter of fact, it may have been even happening in Malibu. And I'm like, what? Like, that's ridiculous. But
Hesher.
Yes, go ahead.
Hesher, because this goes to what you're saying, Cece. If everyone's leaving California, a lot of Californians, when I visited Texas last year, I heard from a lot of Texans, things are going in a very negative way when it comes to our politics, because Californians are coming here and bringing their politics with them. And when I went down and drove down to Florida this year, as I crossed from Georgia to Florida, there was a big billboard on the side of I-95 that said, "Remember why you came here. You came here to be free," something along those lines. "Leave your politics back up north." So, Hesher, have you been experiencing this throughout? Has Texas been experiencing this throughout the state as CeCe's brethren are invading your state?
The answer is a resounding yes. We have the similar billboard out there in El Paso and in other parts of the state where, you know, common crossings into the state are. You may get questioned by locals if you show up with your California plate, although that seems to be dwindling because there are so many now. We'd be stopping everybody we see on the road or a third of them and saying, "Hey, you from California, New York? You with Biden?" When I moved here, I had a California plate on my car, and the first lady that talked to me said, "You ain't with Obama, are you?" And I said, "No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I came here to be away from the people that are with him." So I was welcomed here very, very well. Spore and I, we were very well welcomed here, and I think anyone will be if they're coming to get away from that stuff and they know better. But you do not want to come to Florida or Texas and try to turn them purple. I don't think that's actually going to happen. For example, the majority of our Hispanic population here is turning Republican. And that just seems to be a fact. Even the Hispanic population in border states are not into this open border shenanigan that the U.S. government is trying to pull. All right, let's take a headline with today's News Talk. We'll be right back.
Question. Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has said the West should supply Ukraine with any weapons it needs, including advanced systems, for use in its conflict with Russia. The Western Australian Police Union has warned the state's police force is facing critical shortages after 500 police resigned or retired last year. President Joe Biden's Justice Department reportedly permitted the president's personal attorneys to search for classified documents in separate locations without security clearances or the FBI present.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
That's right. And hit us up on those open lines. The numbers are there. The lines are open. If you want to call in and speak with CeCe, John, and myself, you have that ability. So please go to the website and check it out. Lock those numbers into your cell phone, and eventually I won't have to remind you folks. You can just pick up the phone and call us anytime you want, all right? So, you know what? I would like to say something about professional sports ball, all the professional sports ball leagues. You guys really blew it when you took on DOD propaganda. That was a bad move. That was a bad corporate move. I'm wondering how much government money came into the NFL and how that all worked out. I'd love to see the audit on that. But that has been lame. And then you went even further and you brought in the pandemic industrial complex and big pharma, all right, and the gene therapy people. And then, well, even before that, actually, between those two atrocities, you brought in woke culture and you brought in Helter Skelter and politicized actions on the sports ball field. none of this is what anyone wants to watch. You guys have been hemorrhaging, absolutely hemorrhaging viewers. People are flocking to TNT Radio, TNTRadio.live, to hear discussions like this because they cannot stand the fact that their one little haven, their one little bread and circus area that they had to unplug from their 9-to-5 grind or whatever they're doing out there is now highly politicized, woke AF, and full-on pandemic industrial complex shills. So, John, what's the latest with Major League Sports?
So I'm going to combine this with two things that I brought to the table today because something happened with the Philadelphia Flyers, and that just goes so well with this. But in general, like you said, this started with BLM being on the field, the kneeling for the flag, and everybody just wanted to, like you said, it didn't matter if you were left, right. You wanted to watch football, you wanted to watch baseball, and it just was overran like every other aspect within life with politics. So Major League Baseball, when the summer of 2021 came along, they moved their All-Star game out of Atlanta because they claimed that the Republicans were going to destroy and suppress the voters. So they were making laws to protect voting. But of course, the machine rolled out that it was racist, that it was suppressing votes, and it's all about destroying democracy. So they moved the game. So that was just one instance. NFL Votes Initiative, another one. 2 months before the 2020 presidential election, the league started to do registering at all of the NFL stadiums. So anyone that couldn't vote can now be registered to vote. And one NFL source called it voter education, registration, and activism. So where was the education exactly? Was it indoctrination and activism? I'm confused. So NBA, I don't even want to touch on that because I don't want to offend Xi Jinping. Oh, wait, I just did. It's owned by China, essentially. National Hockey League is next up, and they did a deke and they lost their footing, crashed directly into the boards. These idiots have gone on to start tweeting, trans women are women, trans men are men, non-binary identity is real. It's a hockey league. I'm confused here. Why does hockey have to be mixed with every other virtue signaler? Well, you've heard it on these news clips in between some of our segments, but Florida had a Pathway to Hockey Summit in Fort Lauderdale, and it was opened to participants of 18 years of age or older, based in the U.S., identify as female, Black, Asian, Pacific Islander, Hispanic, Latino, Indigenous, LGBTQIA+, and or a person with a disability, which DeSantis said, hey, this is a quote from the DeSantis office, discrimination of any sort is not welcome in the state of Florida, and we do not abide by the woke notion that discrimination should be overlooked if applied in a politically popular manner or against a politically unpopular demographic. We are fighting all discrimination in our schools and our workplaces, and we will fight it in publicly accessible places or meeting or activity. So now the job fair is open to anyone because discrimination is not okay. So I'm going to throw that to you guys, and then we'll come back with the Flyers part.
Who'd have thunk it? Discrimination's not okay? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a really well-written response by DeSantis there, I got to say. I will throw some props his way for that one. That was perfectly stated. It was concise. It was accurate. So I like that comeback there from DeSantis. Could you imagine if all of the governors were saying stuff like that, and if all of the fans were tweeting back and saying, you know what, I'm done, I'm not going to go.
Susie. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm a big DeSantis fan. I mean, any which way, that man can do no wrong in my eyes. He is absolutely, any time he comes out with any of this, whether it's, you know, the discrimination, every single thing that he has come out with, I have agreed wholeheartedly, and it has been fair across the board, meaning he's standing up for people who are being discriminated against, period. Anyone. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Democrat, Republican, whether it's white, Black, it doesn't matter what it is. He is for fairness, but people won't see that he is for fairness because they look at him as a Republican governor. So I think he's really fair. He's just not putting up with any, you know, crap. He's just not. He can see right through it. but that's just
now,
me.
Now, under what those requirements originally were, the discriminating requirements, the only way you can be white and a man to enter that event would be if you were a biological female that identified or transitioned to a male and happened to be white, because then you'd fall under the LGBTQ plus I community. So that is the big catch here. This literally could have just said biological white men need not apply. You don't get a job here. So this is discrimination 101.
Or it could have said white males must come in a dress if you would like to attend.
I'm so confused by all of this. Really, honestly, it's going into the weeds on something that does not need to be gone in the weeds, period. Okay. It's just stupid. It's stupid at this point. The language is meant to confuse people. That's number one. That's why DeSantis is just not putting up with it at all. He wants to be fair to everybody, but he's not going to put up with the gibberish. He's just not going to do it. Love that man. Absolutely love him.
Now, on the topic of being woke in the NHL, so the Philadelphia Flyers, the defenseman Ivan Porovov faced backlash because he didn't partake in the organization's Pride Night. And what that means was they did an LGBTQ themed warm-up where they had rainbow-colored jersey, rainbow-colored stick tape, and he didn't participate in the warm-up, and he cited that his Russian Orthodox religion was the reason why. So he still played the game against the Anaheim Ducks, and he went on to say, quote, "I respect everybody, and I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to stay true to myself and my religion. That's all I'm going to say." The coach, John Tortorella, backed him up, probably with veins popping out of his neck, because John Tortorella is a very fiery man. He used to be the Rangers coach. So now this is the fun part, guys, because you're going to see how if you just follow your religion, he said nothing wrong. He just did not want to partake in this procedure of warm up. But the tweets rolled in. And somebody wrote, Pierre LeBrun wrote, "But Porov obviously does not respect everyone. If he did respect everyone, he would have taken part in warm-up and worn the Pride Night jersey. Don't hide behind religion." Somebody else, "The Flyers should have responded by not allowing him to play. Freedom of expression doesn't give you freedom from consequences from your words or actions." And then somebody else went, "He was allowed to play in the Philadelphia Flyers game. The organization that was first to say that you will be removed from the arena if you utter a homophobic slur after refusing to wear a Pride logo for warmups. What an absolute disgrace." But he didn't do that. He didn't actually say anything negative. He chose not to partake. Now, my question here, and this is for both of you, Hesher, Cece, imagine that you went to work and they said warm up for your game and wear this flag that says, "I love Joe Biden and Gavin Newsom for president 2024.
Would have never happened.
That's what the world's turning into. That's basically what they tell people at work now. They threaten people at work.
I would have quit.
DEI trainings are exactly that. So everybody, you got a lesson. Be like Ivan Provov. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. Be like Ivan. You have, you know, act within your morals, and you have every right to do so. So if you're in some stupid employer that tells you have to go to DEI training, the fact of the matter is you don't. You get a better job at redballoon.work, you know, where they don't do woke hiring. It's time to start walking away from
or self-employment.
Get into self-employment.
Be your own boss.
You may have to be brave and experience a little bit of self-imposed austerity, but You live. Joe Rogan just had an interesting talk about this, about people that live their lives in the workplace, and the workplace drops the woke hammer on them, and it just becomes this Borg-like groupthink there of virtue signaling. And then what do you get when you end up recording these people in privacy when they don't know it? You get stuff like you got on that LA City Council meeting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I could tell you this, after the George Floyd incident, I was still employed in the healthcare realm, and I was employed by Northwell Health, big conglomerate of health hospitals here in New York. And I was about to go out to lunch, and I was told that that day they were going to be taking a knee for 9 minutes in the lobby. And would I join? And I said, abso-friggin-lutely not would I join. And they were like, well, what do you, you don't stand for George Floyd or justice? And I was like, okay, so I don't know how to break this to you. I'm not going to virtue signal. I wish the guy didn't die. That's number one. I was like, there was a lot of different things around the circumstances, but I am not going to get on my knee. I said, I get on my knee for God. That's it. And that alone. So don't bring the virtue signaling to my doorstep. And I said, you know, are we just going to not address the fact that he held a gun to a pregnant woman's belly? Are we not going to talk about any of the negative things? But it was automatic sainthood for George Floyd at that point. And there was never a discussion to go around it afterwards. There was no discussion about the negatives. It was only the positives that George Floyd was the savior of the world. And to me, that was the beginning of really troublesome times, because nobody wanted [S2] Yes. [S1] To even have a discussion. It was, if you don't get on your knee like Nancy Pelosi, you're the devil. And that was BS.
Couldn't agree more.
What do you think, Cece? Yeah, this stuff is
don't get me started
insane.
On the George Floyd thing, because I'll just go on a rant that just won't stop. I mean,
we know how you feel about that.
Yeah,
regular listeners do.
So again, if I was asked to participate the way this hockey player was, can't pronounce his name, was asked to participate, I would tell them blatantly, I'm not doing it. I don't agree with this thought process or this way of life or whatever it is. I just don't agree with this, period. And my job is to play hockey. I'll play hockey, but I'm not going to participate in this event or whatever it is that doesn't have anything to do with hockey, period. End of story. And if they did not want to, yes, right. It has nothing to do with hockey. He signed a contract to play hockey, period. End of story. So, and if they are now trying to push this mindset, this wokeness, whatever they're trying to push on their players, and if their players don't push back and say, I'm here to play a game, I'm not here to play this woke game with you, I'm here to play an actual sport, that's what I was hired to do. If they don't push back, it's just going to get worse. And hopefully we're going to see some of these guys walking out on their contracts and or suing the teams, because this crosses especially as an ex-wife of a professional ball player, I understand how this works. And this almost kind of gets into a religious type area that really you can't cross those boundaries. You just can't do that. And so I'd like to see some pushback, some vocal pushback in the news. And maybe, who knows, maybe we can reach out to one of these guys and have them on the show. But I'd like to I'd like to get their viewpoint on this, because being pushed into something like that and then being pushed into a corner publicly, PR-wise, because you don't want to participate, even worse.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go to break in a second here. I'll just finish this off by saying Ivan's salary is $4,750,000 a year, and his cap is $6.75 million. So you players out there, you guys have FU money. You guys have FU money, and clearly you have really good contracts. So don't put up with this. Be like Ivan. We'll be right back. You're listening to the State of the Nation on TNT.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
The real danger of this week's gathering in Davos isn't that it's a collection of the world's elite and powerful gathered together to lay plans for taking over the world. No, the real danger of Davos is in people thinking this is the only group of the world's elite and powerful gathering together to lay plans to take over the world. The World Economic Forum is yin to the Bilderberg Group's yang. The left to its right. But it's not a bipartite world. Indeed, with groups like the Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, and the Club of Rome, there are quite a few groups of globalist elites gathering together, laying plans to take over the world. And it's not even taking over the world, because they already control so much of the world. Just look at how many WEF graduates are in the cabinets in Canada, the United States government, the UK's cabinet, governments around the world. This is a very real and present danger that we're facing, folks. We no longer live in a left versus right world. We live in an up versus Downworld, a them versus us world. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Researcher William Doyle of the Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute, CRERI, found grants from Zuckerberg's favored nonprofits, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR, rivaled federal and state COVID-related election expenses, with CTCL and CEIR together accounting for an 85% increase in total additional election funding. And that largess was concentrated in a relatively small number of heavily Democratic municipalities. Both organizations were founded by left-wing activists, with ties to top progressive advocacy groups. Although CTCL and CEIR are chartered as non-partisan 501c3 corporations, CRERI research suggests the $419.5 million of CTCL and CEIR spending that took place in 2020 was highly partisan in its distribution and its effects.
Critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with John Matlin, Brian McLean, and CeCe Woods on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, with regards to sports ball and professional sports teams playing into all the agendas so heavily, Chopper from the Boiler Room throws in, well, Chopper, I can't read it the way you wrote it. There's too many expletives in there, my friend. But he basically wrote, it's because all the sports ball teams and leagues are owned by billionaire bleep globalist pigs. So, they're going to play along with the agendas. So there you go. Speaking of billionaire globalist pigs, Davos organizers this week are slamming Elon Musk. So over this is your hump day Davos report. They don't like Elon over at Davos this year, apparently. And Microsoft is about to lay off 10,000 workers. That's pretty interesting. That's a pretty big number there. We've seen a lot of these tech layoffs, you guys.
Mm-hmm. We Amazing. Have. Yes. We have.
Yeah.
And Amazon, I'm
tech
hearing.
Was all the rage. Yeah.
Is that correct? Amazon's laying off a bunch of people as well. 18,000, I'm seeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Which so my daughter weird. Is at a tech company, too. And she they're experiencing a lot of layoffs. They had them in December. And what she was telling me is that it was because during COVID, especially her specific tech company, they were thriving during that time. And so they hired all these extra people to work offsite. And so now the world is going back to our normal activities that we did pre-COVID. So now they're letting people off because of that. I would assume that it's probably very similar to Amazon drivers. You know, like a lot of those workers were hired extra because that's all we were doing was ordering from Amazon and not going anywhere to buy our goods, right? Does that sound
Yeah, but everywhere
plausible?
We used to go to buy our goods was closed down during COVID and now
that's,
we're just stuck with
Amazon.
That's
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So that could be why.
If you ask Jeff Bezos, he would love for that lockdown to go on indefinitely.
Oh, 100%.
Think about how that rolled out. That rolled out. The environment was better. Yeah. Things were thriving because no one was outside. We've heard every last thing. When in truth, mm-hmm. there was billions of pounds of masks floating around in the ocean. So what's the truth and what we're being told? Obviously, always shades of gray in between that. But I could tell you, Amazon really, really did enjoy that lockdown.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
I mean, just look at their revenues, folks. I mean, we spend a lot of time looking at Pfizer and Moderna's revenue over the last couple of years. But yeah, you can look at Amazon, Microsoft. This is the thing that kind of gets me about these. It seems like this has been happening all year. And I wonder if maybe it's just to do with the inbound inflation, the wartime economy, if you will, all the shifts happening in global finance. It could be about that. You know, it could be very much that level stuff. Or I got to wonder, do these companies know something that we don't know about whatever the next big upset is going to be? and how, you know, they need to protect themselves against it. So layoffs are a great way to hedge big money. Yeah.
Bezos for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a synergistic approach to all of that. They know a little bit. They're getting ready for a little bit, and there has been a decrease in usage. So it's the hat trick of values there. But I do want to remind everybody that while we were staying home, while their economy was booming, and while they were saying that the carbon release was much better and everything was thriving and this was great for the environment, which spawned the thought of environmental lockdowns. There's been talks here in New York about lockdowns in the Northeast to keep out the spotted lanternfly, an invasive fly from China that came over, from getting any further into our country. So there's different terms of lockdowns and different reasons why, but I do need to stress that Jeff Bezos still dumped endless amounts on our behalf with our money of CO2 into the atmosphere when he flew his phallic-shaped rocket ship to go play around in space.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to, was he trying to meet up with Elon's space Tesla? Was he going to, spacewalk and get in the Tesla and drive it around a little bit? By the way, I think that was totally fake. That was just me. I don't know. Hard to say.
I agree. I agree with that. We were watching in the X-ray lounge and I was like, I remember somebody on the left looked over and was like, another rich man flying into outer space. I hope his rocket blows up, which kind of was messed up, but I kind of got a chuckle out of it. Because if you're trying to make up for something, I got to tell you, they always say like the rich guy will go buy the fast car to make up for his lack there of manhood. Well, this man flew a giant penis into the atmosphere. So what's that say?
Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. All you large truck drivers and sports car drivers, Jeff Bezos.
Little man syndrome.
Took it to another level. Took it off planet, extraterrestrial. Davos and their efforts to save the planet to get that 1.5 Celsius. What is 1.5 Celsius, Americans? Do you know? No, probably not.
I can Google it.
All right. Well, what else has gone on here? A Coinbase has halted operations in Japan a week after laying off hundreds of employees. So the cryptocurrency exchange has cut or will cut 20% of its workforce to contend with quote unquote market disruptions. Oh, I wonder what those could be. So over the past year, Bitcoin has plunged almost 60%. The volatile year got even worse late last year with the collapse of FTX, which filed for bankruptcy protection. And I don't know how that's going to work out for Japan, you guys. They're saying that if you're out there listening in Japan and you're on Coinbase, you better pay attention to those emails because you're going to have to pull your resources out of there. And if you don't, within a certain amount of time, you're going to have to go through legal means to try to recover your money. So interesting that Japan has been the place where they're halting operations as they cut another 20% of their workforce. I'm not really sure what to make of that. Do you have any ideas, any wargaming on that one, John?
It's a bad sign for everything as everybody is cutting. That is the truth. And, I've heard rumors from friends of mine, and of course, this is just rumor. This is dribble. This is just discussion. But it's like, if Coinbase is doing this, is what's next? Is Robinhood next? Is Robinhood going to have an issue? I mean, all speculation, but they were offering like free things if you get friends to invest. It just seemed like they're screaming out, I'm in trouble. Somebody, I'm in trouble. And that's kind of the feeling that you get among all of this after FTX. Who had what and where was it and how affected were they? I mean, look at the New York Mets after the Ponzi scheme. Why can't I think of his name? His name's eluding me. The big Ponzi scheme.
Sam Bankman-Fried?
No. The original one. The guy in like 2008.
Oh. Madoff?
Oh, gosh.
There he is. Bernie Madoff. Yeah. Madoff made out with a lot of people's money, and the New York Mets were having issues with like signing players because their money was all wrapped up in something that wasn't real. And we're finding a lot of people that's happening to them now in a different way, digitally. So there's bad signs here.
Yeah, there was another company. I sent you guys the article. Gemini, I believe it is, that was having issues. Now they're the next ones that are, I think, filing for bankruptcy. I sent you guys the article. I've been trying to find it right now. But, you know, there's one after the other after the other. You know, that, I mean, this industry is getting hit hard. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Very hard. And we're learning more about FTX at this point. Today, we learned that the collapsed crypto exchange FTX has confirmed that approximately $415 million of customer funds was stolen by hackers hours after it filed for bankruptcy last November. That had been intimated before. Now it is confirmed. So, that's not a good look for the whole crypto currency environment. If this is going on at other places, oh boy, this could be a domino setup. I could almost see where this is going.
Totally.
All right, you guys, that's it. We're out here. The music, they're playing our song. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Cece.
Thanks. See y'all tomorrow.
All right, there goes Cece.
We will see you guys tomorrow. Be brave. Somebody out there, I know you're all in the chat. Come on, speak with us. We would love to hear what you have to say.
That's right. Call us tomorrow if you weren't brave enough today. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned to TNT Radio.